following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talk of Shabbos Parshas Bereishis, Mevarchim HaChodesh, the Shabbos in which we bless the month of Mar Cheshvan, of Hei Tavshin Nun Beis, corresponding with the year 1991. The Rebbe quotes a very famous saying of our Rebbe's, that Azevim Mishtelzach Havek Shabbos Bereishis, Azei Geit Agantz Yor. This could be translated as the way a person sets himself up on this Shabbos Bereishis, that's how the rest of the year will follow. That means that Shabbos Bereishis specifically is what determines the manner of which things will happen throughout the rest of the year, how his influence will pervade the entire year. So the Rebbe asks, what's so special about Shabbos Bereishis that makes it more significant than the entire month of Tishrei? We know the month of Tishrei, the very word Tishrei, if you rearrange the letters, it spells Reishis, the beginning. So it's the head, the beginning and head of the year. And from all the festivals in this month of Tishrei, all the blessings flow for the entire year. So since the flow and the channeling of blessing for the whole year comes from the entire month of Tishrei, why do we indicate and single out Shabbos Bereishis in this regard? And the answer, the Rebbe says, is Shabbos Bereishis represents the bridge between the month of Tishrei and the rest of the year. So it serves as an intermediary that joins and unifies the month of Tishrei and the other months of the year. The difference between Tishrei and the other months is that Tishrei is filled with so many different mitzvahs and so much holiness. The other months of the year are regarded as chulin, as ordinary, mundane, compared to the month of Tishrei, because in the other months of the year, our primary service is to engage the world and doing weekday matters. And that's why the month of Tishrei can't really have that much of a overt influence on what happens the rest of the year, because the positive environment of the month of Tishrei may not stand and remain steadfast for the rest of the year when you're not involved in those same holy, concentrated, holy matters. Shabbos Bereishis, however, contains within it both factors. Number one, it's the siyum, it's the conclusion and the sum total of the month of Tishrei. On the other hand, it's the Shabbos in which we bless the month of Mar Cheshvan, which indicates the beginning of involvement with worldly matters. So this Shabbos Bereishis, because it has both elements, has the power to introduce and inject this exalted level of the month of Tishrei into the other months of the year that are ordinary months of the year. And that's why it's Shabbos Bereishis and the behavior of Shabbos Bereishis that has influence in the whole year. And the Rebbe then says that this idea, this bridge idea of Shabbos Bereishis, can also be discerned when you look at the content of the parsha. What it talks about, of course, is the creation of the world. And when we read the Torah, and actually read about the creation in the Torah, that renews the creation of the whole world for the future year. And that is what empowers us to do what we have to do throughout the rest of the year. Now, the word Bereishis, which usually translates as in the beginning, our sages translate differently. And they say it means that the Torah, the world was created b'shvil ha-Torah, because of the Torah that is called Reishis, the beginning of God's way, and the world was created because of Israel, the Jewish people, who are also called Reishis, the beginning of God's produce. That means, what is the ultimate goal of creation? It's Reishis. It's those things that are called the beginnings, that include Torah and Israel. Of course, this is not the simple meaning of the word Bereishis, because the simple meaning of the Torah's saying Bereishis is in the beginning of creation. Now, the Rebbe says, and the Rebbe establishes this principle in many places, that whenever there are two or more explanations to one word, there's always a connection between them. That means it's not just that one word could have multiple meanings and each meaning is mutually exclusive of the other, but both meanings have a complementary relationship. In this case, that means the translation of Bereshis as in the beginning of creation, and the translation of Bereshis because of the Torah and Israel are intertwined. That means that the additional explanation doesn't negate the original one, it just adds on to it and enhances it. So we have to understand, how could we reconcile these two translations? Torah and Israel are above creation, infinitely higher than creation. So how do we reconcile Torah and Israel with creation itself, which is the other simple interpretation? The question becomes even stronger, the Rebbe says, when you look at Rashi in his first comment, explains that this interpretation, that it means for the sake of Israel, Torah and Israel, is not the simple meaning. It's drash. It's the homiletic meaning. And Rashi himself says that that's not his primary goal in translating the Torah, and interpreting the Torah. His primary goal is to give the simple, straightforward level of understanding. So then why does Rashi bring this drash, this homiletic explanation, first? And if he had to bring it for whatever reason, he should have brought it as the second explanation. Moreover, the Rebbe says, Rashi writes in an earlier comment that the Torah should have begun with the words and the commandment of establishing the new month, the new moon, HaChodesh HaZelochem. This is the month unto you. That's the mitzvah, the first mitzvah Jews received when they were a nation in Egypt prior to the Exodus from Egypt, to establish the new month, the new moon on the Jewish calendar. The Torah, Rashi says, should have really begun there because it's the first mitzvah. And there's a special reason, which we'll discuss later, that Rashi mentions, that the Torah overrode that commandment to serve as the beginning and instead talks about creation in the beginning. From this we understand that Rashi is trying to tell us that there's a very strong reason why the Torah has to begin with creation, not with mitzvahs. That's the conclusion of Rashi. So when Rashi then says that the first translation of Bereshis means because of Torah and Israel, so we're talking about Torah and Israel and not about creation itself. So there seems to be an internal contradiction. Either the focus has to be on mitzvahs, which is not the case, that is not the beginning of the Torah. The beginning is about creation, and yet Rashi himself translates Bereshis as a reference to Torah and Israel, which is not creation itself. So the Rebbe explains it as follows. When we discuss the fact that Israel, the Jewish people, are above creation, they transcend creation, they are the Reishis, that means they are the head of creation, we have to discern two different levels. There is the preeminence of Israel over the rest of creation, that they are separated from and exalted from the rest of creation. Then there's a second element here, and that's the element that's intended here in this verse. It's the preeminence and the virtue of Israel as they are within the confines and the parameters of creation itself. That means even as they are part of creation, they are the Reishis, they are the head, they are the most sublime aspect of creation itself. So the word Reishis is, on one hand, it's about creation, but it's also about that which is the highest aspect of creation, where the Jewish people are an integral part of creation, but they are the Reishis, they are the head. And to understand what we mean by saying that Israel is exalted and higher even within the confines and the parameters of creation, we'll understand it based on a premise explained in the Tanya, that when we say in our prayers, Uvanu v'charta mikol am v'lashon, God chose us from all nations, what did he choose? So the Alter Rebbe, the author of the Tanya, says, not our souls, because there's no choice. The soul is qualitatively different from the souls of other people. So when you talk about choice, you're talking about two equal or identical things, and you choose one. So what did God choose when he chose the Jewish people? He chose their materialistic body, which is just the same. It resembles the materialistic body of any other person, because that is the definition of choice. If there's a logical reason to choose one over the other, then it's not really choice. Free choice means when there is no rhyme or reason, no pressure, nothing that biases us to go in one direction, because both choices are equal, and then we choose one over the other. And that is the reason why when God chose us, he chose our physicality and our very lowest aspect of our being, our materiality. So that means that what makes us different from the other nations of the world is not just our soul, because God chose the body and the material aspect of the body, the lowliest aspect, which resembles that of any other nation. And God chose it not because of any reason, because of any logic, compelling explanation, but because it transcends knowledge. It transcends logic. From this it follows that after God chose the physical, material body of the Jewish people, it has a greater advantage even over their own intrinsic quality that they have previously that makes them higher and better than the other nations by virtue of their soul and the like. Because when you choose, your essence chooses. It's not your logic, it's not your feelings, it's your very essence. And when God chose us, it's his very essence that chose us. And that's why when we talk about the Jewish people are called racious within creation, not as they are above creation, because it's that level which makes them similar and identical to the rest of creation, there is where we see God's choice. This is true with regard to the second racious. The Torah is also racious, the head of creation. Not just the Torah that transcends creation, but even as Torah was introduced into this physical world, it is on a higher level. It is racious. It is the head. This is the expression that we say, Ki tov sachra mikol schera. The merchandise of Torah is better than all other merchandise. That means we're comparing it to merchandise. That even when you have Torah in this world and you could compare it to other physical pursuits, merchandise, you can tell that Torah is much more sublime. And that's why Jewish law does not allow teaching Torah to the non-Jews, except the parts of Torah that relate to their obligations. Because even when Torah is in this world, and you think, well, if it's in this world, it enters into the consciousness of all of existence. That includes other nations as well. But even then, the holiness of Torah and its relationship to the people of Israel is still very strong. And it's discernible. Based on all of the above, we can reconcile the two interpretations and translations of Bereshis, that it's the beginning of creation, and the second one, that it's creation because of the Torah in Israel that are called Reishis, beginnings. Because when we say the Torah in Israel coined Reishis, beginning, that is a part, an integral part of creation. That is the Reishis, the head of the entire creation, because within creation itself, not as Torah and Israel are above creation, they are still exalted. And that's the reason why Rashi prefaces the interpretation, which is not the simple translation, that it is because of Torah and Israel that God created the world. He prefaces that before the interpretation that it is the beginning of creation itself. Because what is the real reason, what is the ultimate purpose in creation, the actual creation of this physical world, that within the parameters of the physical world, one should reveal the choice that God had with Israel, and that it should be simple and natural for everything to recognize the preeminence of Israel over the rest of creation. And the Rebbe then says, based on the above, we can explain how this connects to Rashi's first comment, which is, the Torah should have begun, and we noted this before, from the words HaChedesh HaZeh Lechem, the parsha, the section of the Torah that deals with the introduction of the new moon and the holidays. Why does it begin with Bereishis, with Genesis? Because God wanted to reveal his strength to his people so that they have the inheritance of the nations. That means it's a response to the nations of the world who condemn us for stealing their land, that we stole the land that belongs to the seven tribes, the Canaanite tribes. So what is our answer to these nations that is provided for with the story of Genesis? The answer is that the entire world belongs to God. He created it, and he gave it to whomever he felt he wanted to give it to. He willingly gave it to them, and he willingly took it from them and gave it to us. That explains the concept of how we are unique within the parameters of creation. That means when we're talking about Torah and mitzvahs that were given to the Jewish people specifically and not to the nations of the world, that's what HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, the first mitzvah of the Torah, was given to you. So when we talk about that quality of Torah, that's where Torah and Israel transcend the world. They're above the world. They're beyond. They're not on the same level. They're not considered to be special within creation. So, but when we talk about giving of the land, talking about physical land to the Jewish people, here we can see there's a basis for the argument of the nations of the world. You're thieves, because the land of Israel was the inheritance of other nations. And yet God chose, free choice, to give it to us. Just like he chose the Jewish people, so too did he choose to give them this land. So that expresses the superiority, the virtue, the preeminence of Israel, even within the parameters of the world itself. And that's what reveals the choice that God had with Israel, the people. Based on the above, that these two things that we have in Shabbos Bereishis that binds the service of the month of Tishrei with the service of the rest of the year, this contains within it, this incorporates the two different qualities associated with the nation Israel. On one hand, we are above the world. That corresponds to Tishrei. On the other hand, we are the beginning of the world within the parameters of the world. So that corresponds to the other months of the year. The month of Tishrei, when we're involved with holiness exclusively, we're above worldly matters. That reveals the essential quality of the Jewish people, that we transcend the world. Once we finish all of the festivals and we begin to engage in the mundane activities within the parameters of the world, the purpose of that is to reveal the quality of Israel as they are within the parameters of the world. As we said before, the Shabbos Bereishis is the bridge between these two points because it has both. It has the element of Tishrei and the element of the rest of the year. So then we are empowered, even though we're still in the month of Tishrei, to then make the transition into worldly matters, that we should still recognize the inherent quality and preeminence of Israel as the chosen people, the beginning of creation, and that you chose us, Atav Chatanu Mikol Ha'amim, that should be sensed and felt within the world. What is the difference, and what's the practical application of all of the above? The Rebbe explains a Jew has to know that he is Reishis HaBriah, he is the head of creation, even when he is in exile. Because the fact that a Jew is the beginning of creation, it's not because of his neshama, not because of his soul, because then one could have argued that it's only true when your soul is revealed. But it doesn't apply, you one would argue, when your soul is concealed as in time of exile. But that's not the extent of the preeminence of a Jew as Reishis, as the beginning. It's because of his body, because even his physicality and the materiality of his body is what God had chosen. So therefore, whichever situation a Jew is in, he's always Reishis, because God's choice is perpetual. The fact that we have a commandment, Dina de Malchusa Dina, the law of the government is law. And there's another statement in the Talmud that Jews in the time of exile shouldn't rebel against the nations. And similar sentiments. First of all, the Rebbe says that only applies to certain limited physical forms of behavior, but it doesn't apply to Torah and mitzvahs. In other words, the law of the land doesn't change our observance of Torah and mitzvahs. But even when we do have to follow the law of the land, it's not because the nations of the world have any real control and dominance over Israel, or that we have fear of the nations or we depend on their kindness, because even when we're in exile, we are still the Rishis. We are still the ultimate goal of creation, including all of the nations of the world. The reason why we follow the law of the land, because that itself is God's system, that in the times of exile, some of the flow and channeling of energy have to go to Israel by way the nations of the world. So therefore, the nations of the world have some degree of rights to demand certain types of behavior. But it's not that we're getting it from the nations of the world, but it's something that comes directly from God through the nations of the world, not that they are the ones who are giving it to us, and therefore they have no dominance over us. This idea, the Rebbe says, is underscored in this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this talk, which is Tav Shin Nun Beis, when the Rebbe said that that year is an acronym, Tehei Shnas Niflois Ba, it'll be a year in which there will be wonders, or Niflois Bako, wonders in all respects, because God's choice of Israel is a Pella, is a wonder, because a wonder is something that we cannot find a rational basis for it. And this is true. It's not because logically God should have chosen us, but it's God's will that transcends reason. So that's the idea of wonders. And this year, which is a continuation of the past year, we saw God's choice of Israel being revealed, and that manifested itself that the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, allowed Jews to observe Torah mitzvahs. When will this choice of Israel become fully manifested? That'll be in the time of redemption. Then it says the kings will become your nurses and the ministers will be your servants and so on and so forth. But as a preparation for that, as we get so close to the future redemption, we see more and more how God had chosen the Jewish people, and it manifests itself in two ways. Number one, the nations of the world are assisting the Jewish people to observe Torah mitzvahs. Number two, the nations of the world actually refer to the Jewish people as the chosen nation, the chosen people. That means that they recognize the inherent superiority or preeminence of Israel, and this recognition was paved by the great Jewish leaders, especially our Rebbes and our leaders, who actually dealt with the nations of the world. From all the above, the Rebbe says, it follows, it's very simple, how much we should negate the viewpoints of those who declare that the Jewish people has to give in, God forbid, to the pressure of the nations of the world with regard to giving over territories of Israel, because we're in exile and therefore we're under the control of the nations of the world and we have to just submit to whatever they want. And they use the argument that it says in the Talmud you shouldn't start up and incite the nations of the world. And that they go as far as saying that the very salvation and the survival of the Jewish people in Israel depends on the nations of the world. God forbid, may it never come to pass. This is absolutely wrong, the Rebbe says, for several reasons. Number one, the very saying that itself, that the Jewish people depend on the nations, otherwise their very survival is at stake, that has absolutely no basis, because we are God's nation and God is eternal. As it says, Ani Hashem Lo Shiniti, I, God, have never changed, and therefore Israel are an eternal nation, as it continues in that verse to say, V'atem b'nei Yankev lechilisem, then you, the children of Jacob, the Jewish people, have not been destroyed. That means Jews are an immortal people, so we don't have to worry that our survival depends on doing whatever the nations want us to do. Number two, the Rebbe says, every Jew knows that the Torah begins with the words Bereishis, that the world was created because of Israel, who are called Reishis, the beginning. So that means, and it dictates, that the nations of the world do not have any mastery over the Jewish people, God forbid. And since everything in Torah is precise, the fact that it's the very beginning of the Torah teaches us that's the foundation of the entire Torah. Number three, that which the Talmud says we should not incite the nations against us has nothing to do with the idea that the nations of the world control the Jewish people, God forbid, because even in the time of exile, where some of the channeling of energy goes through the nations of the world, and it says don't incite them, that doesn't mean, and it doesn't detract from the fact that we are the Rishis, the head, and because of us the world was created. Number four, and this is the essential thing the Rebbe says, it's self-understood that when we're talking about observance of Torah and mitzvahs, you can't apply the words, don't incite the nations. Because when you're talking about not just Torah and mitzvahs in a conventional sense, you're talking about a matter of pikuach nefesh, of life and death, by giving up territories where it could endanger the lives. And the Rebbe quotes a ruling in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law, the section of called Or HaChaim, the section 329, that if a hostile force besieges a Jewish city near the border, and even if they want to enter just for matters of getting food for their animals, you're supposed to break the Shabbos to wage war to thwart them, to prevent them from entering your territory, because once they enter your territory, Jewish lives are in danger. So based on that, you can't use the approach, don't incite the nations of the world, when you're dealing with a matter of pikuach nefesh, of life and death. And the Rebbe concludes, by increased study of Torah and doing of mitzvahs, and particularly the shiurim, the lessons of chitas, the parsha of chumash, every day of the week, another section of the Sedra of the Parsha, of the weekly Parsha. Tillim, every day of the month, another section of the Book of Psalms, so we complete it in 1 month. Tanya, a section of Tanya that we say every day, that in the course of a year we finish the study of the entire Tanya. So the Rebbe emphasizes learning of these three things. So by increasing our dedication to Torah mitzvahs, and especially these three lessons of Torah, this will help us not to make the same mistakes that we've made in the past. And imminently, take it from Miyad Mamish, immediately, imminently, this will increase the recognition of the whole world about the preeminence of the Jewish people and their special connection to the land of Israel. And this will be fully revealed and manifested with a true and complete redemption when Israel's boundaries will be expanded to include the three other nations of Keni, Knezi, and Kadmeini. Now, a summary of the synopsis, the Rebbe explains and says that it follows that not only is it not true the Jews are under the control of the nations of the world, God forbid, and that's true not only about their souls but also about their bodies, but moreover, on the contrary, even in exile, we are the Rishis, we are the head of the whole creation, for whom the whole world was created, including all the nations of the world. And the growth of the nations of the world and their success depends on the Jewish people. As it says that in every generation, in every period, the Jewish nation that finds itself in exile are exalted over all the nations. In another part of the talk, the Rebbe says, we already saw very clearly and vividly wonders in the beginning of this year, which continue from the wonders of the past year, especially with regard to the fact that in Russia, which the Rebbe calls Medina Ahi, that country, has liberated and assisted thousands upon thousands of Jews to go to Israel and other places where they can live in complete freedom in their personal lives. And this revelation, a recognition of the world and the nations of the world about the virtue of the Jewish people, is getting stronger from generation to generation, because we're getting closer and closer to the true and complete redemption, when we will see the fulfillment of the prophetic prediction, V'holcha Goyim L'Eirach, the nations will go towards our light, and the nations of the world and their leaders will become those who will assist us. In the Psuras HaGeula, the announcement of Geula that takes excerpts from the talk that regards specifically to the announcement of redemption, the Rebbe says as follows, the revelation and announcement in the world and to the nations that the prominence of Israel will be strengthened, particularly in recent times, as we draw ever closer to redemption. That's a summary of the summary, but let me just read the entire piece. We have already openly seen the miracles at the beginning of this year, in continuation of the miracles of last year, in connection with the fact that that country, Russia, freed and assisted thousands and thousands of Jews to go to the land of Israel and other places. In those places, they can live their individual lives in full freedom. This reveals the greatness of Israel, and even the nations of the world recognize this and assist them. The revelation in the world and recognition by the nations of the greatness of the Jewish people has increased from generation to generation, As we approach ever nearer to the final and true redemption, the declaration that and the nations will go by your light, and kings will be your midwives, and their princes your nursemaids, that's a quote from the book of Isaiah, comes closer to its fulfillment. Over the course of generations, even in the time of exile, we find that the nations of the world have recognized that the Jewish people are the chosen people. We see this in many places in the Midrashim of our sages of blessed memory. For example, in the Talmud tractate Zvachim, where one of the leaders, a king, says to the rabbi, I will fulfill the biblical prediction of kings will be your midwives, and also in other sources. It is also known that non-Jews call the Jewish people, even when speaking among themselves, the chosen people. And the Rebbe concludes, in the United States and other benevolent countries, Jews are permitted to perform their divine service with a calm mind and amidst physical comfort. Jews in the diaspora and in Israel are commonly offered assistance. This assistance itself has increased in recent years, specifically last year, the year of I will show them wonders, and beginning with this year, a year with miracles within it, in relation to the permission to emigrate and the aid from that country to our fellow Jews to go to the land of Israel.